Welcome to MassMEP's Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. MassMEP believes that there's some element to a manufacturer's business, whether it's finding inefficiencies, strengthening internal processes, or unlocking growth that can extend the firm beyond its current limitations.
Hello, I'm your host, Christy Grignon, and today we are joined by Ted Bauer and Karen Myhaver of MassMEP to talk about workforce development and MassMEP's new initiative, the Manufacturing Your Career. Ted is the Director of Workforce Development Strategies for MassMEP. Mr. Bauer is responsible for the organization, development, and implementation of workforce training. Ted has developed and implemented the first successful comprehensive manufacturing technical skills training program with the state of Massachusetts. In addition, Ted has implemented a statewide pre-apprenticeship and apprenticeship program for the machining trades. Ted was intimately involved in the design, organization, and launch of a successful manufacturing development model. The Manufacturing Advancement Center Workforce Innovation Collaborative, best known as MACWIC. Ted, thank you so much for being with us today.
I appreciate the opportunity to join this conversation. Thank you.
Excellent. Also joining us today is Karen Myhaver, MassMEP's Manufacturing Your Career Coordinator. Ms. Myhaver works on the collaboration between manufacturing companies, high schools, colleges, and educators to prepare the future workforce. Karen, we're so excited to hear about some of the new initiatives you and Ted are working on, and thank you so much for joining us.
I look forward to telling you about them.
So you guys are in talking to manufacturers all the time. Can you share with us what the manufacturing companies are saying their biggest needs are?
I think I'm going to say the obvious. I believe most people out there have heard this over and over again, especially over the past several years, and it's workforce. The companies that are right now looking to grow and looking to prosper are struggling finding an appropriate workforce, that is somebody with the prerequisite skills to fit into the skill sets that are required in today's advanced manufacturing world. So workforce is, to me, the number one. And the difficulty in what we're hearing the employers are finding is that many of these employers are small companies and they lack the infrastructure internally to really look at this thing from a strategic point of view. The employers that are looking for this talent, even though many of the smaller companies do not have this robust infrastructure to put training on and what have you, they are expressing a willingness to train. So they are in that mode of understanding and recognizing that the workforce skills that they're looking for are not necessarily available. However, there are good people out there that can be good employees that they're willing to invest in. And that really is where the market is moving. The employers are eager and willing, and they just have to organize themselves now to put that out and get people prepared for the challenges they're going to be facing in the near future and in the current time.
Excellent. Thank you, Ted. Karen, do you have something to add?
I was just going to say that the MassMEP has provided programs like the MOST training and consortium trainings to help those small companies be able to train their people without closing down the shop for the day or anything else, which is typically a problem.
So between the company's willingness to train and the programs that MassMEP has out there to train those employees and get them up to speed, what are some of the biggest challenges manufacturers are facing to train their employees?
The first thing that comes to mind, is doing an initial assessment. Again, most of our manufacturers, a small 70%, are under 20 employees. The first challenge for an employer is who needs what, and how do I get at that understanding before I begin investing in training and taking people out of their routines? Then finding the appropriate means to deliver training. You know, who can do it? What organization? How can we put this together to fit in with our other demands of the business? Those are difficult challenges. They may sound easy, but they're difficult challenges while you're running a business and you're wearing multiple hats. And so that is something that employers really are struggling to get their arms around. And then you sometimes run into that classic statement, and I've heard it. I've actually heard it where an employer says, if I train them, they may leave. Mm-hmm. And it's something that always strikes me as odd, I guess. But I do reflect back on a comment made by a large employer, and I think he has it right, where he says, train them well enough so they can leave, but treat them well enough so they don't want to. And that was Richard Branson. And I think he sums it up perfectly. We have to train. I don't think there's any option to that if we're going to run a business successfully. But then there's that other flip side. When an employer is willing to invest and they structure that properly and they express it properly to the workforce, they do appreciate it because they see it as an investment in them and everybody prospers mutually.
I think you're making a great point too, Ted. I've heard probably 15 times over the last 2 months that the number one reason employees leave is because they're not getting training. So it's almost like you can't not train them because they'll leave as well.
I agree with that. And that kind of really rolls down to that perception of cost. I firmly believe that it's going to cost you not to do the investment. And the cost you might put into making an investment in training has an ROI, a return on investment. And that is a very important thing for us to help employers really rationalize and for employers to really think about, again, strategically, that investments are good things. Anybody who runs a business understands that. But we're entering that era where I think the message is finally coming out that we have to make these investments for the returns that we need. And the talent that we used to take for granted just is not there. So we have to create it.
Can you tell us a little bit about some of the initiatives you've developed in the past and how they've set the groundwork for your new initiative, the Manufacturing Your Career?
I'd like to, because it's been an effort of a number of years, a lot of planning and implementing brought us to a place that we now can see the next steps that are necessary. And just to step back, it really became that apparent gray tsunami event that we began to really talk about in earnest 6 to 8 years ago. And the aging workforce was forcing the market to do something different, to look at things like the actual skills that were exiting the business and how are we going to replace them. Things like succession planning. You had some key critical employees that did something for a number of years, and the successor to that was just not readily available. So companies really began to wake up to the fact that if we don't think about this in advance, we're going to have some real significant problems in terms of running our businesses and staying competitive. And talking about competition, the classic definition of being competitive is you've got the right price, you've got the right processes, quality. But I submit that today, and especially going to the future, one of your elements of being competitive is being competitive in attracting a workforce. And so that brings the company into a whole different level of thinking about competitiveness. They have to be able to attract the best and the brightest. And unless they do some very specific things, they will struggle and unfortunately may not be as successful as they can be. And that brings me to that term MACWIC that you brought up earlier, the Manufacturing Advancement Center Workforce Innovation Collaborative, really kind of came on when the Mass MEP and we as individuals kept hearing, again, that number one problem was I can't find the people with the right skills. And everybody was looking for a solution by someone else. And the day came when we just had to come to the realization and we began to really explain to the employers, a solution is you. There is no cavalry that's going to come to the rescue. And unless you take this challenge on, you will probably not solve that workforce skills issue that you're talking about on a fairly regular basis. And because you're small companies, maybe a unique thing that you can do is work collaboratively. Try to bring all of your resources together, and that's how MACWIC started. 40 foundation members got together and said, yes, we will share training, we will share format, we will work together to really create an understanding of what kind of skills are necessary, and then try to work hard to match that up with ways to deliver that training so that we can build a competency system that everybody understands, and they'll be able to produce people with the skills that these companies are looking for. And MacWick is well over 6 years in place. Things like the Applied Manufacturing Technology Pathway Certification were formed, and it's backed up by testing. So now employers can literally have a very good idea of what an individual's actual competencies are, because people are being tested now in the MacWick Level 1, 2, and 3 certifications. These are lined up also with college credentials through Consigma Community College, through an articulation. And so now the employers, collaborating together over a course of 6 years, nothing happens overnight, have a system, and they have a very vibrant way of beginning to build those skills, do it in an orderly fashion, do it collaboratively at a good cost, and begin to fight back on this lack of skills challenge that everybody's facing.
And these past initiatives, these are what are setting the groundwork for the new initiative, Manufacturing Your Career?
Yes, because as much as we now have ways to train individuals, ways to bring skills to individuals, we don't have enough individuals in the pipeline. And that, it's nice that we've addressed one of the problems that was a problem with a solution, but it's not enough. To put it frankly, it's not enough. There are not enough people even yet available or interested or focused on going into these pathways that will ultimately bring them into that manufacturing community. So we began to say, where else can we go with this? Where else can we go? We did become involved a number of years ago in taking this MacWick credentialing to the technical high schools, which has been a traditional pipeline into manufacturing. And the good news out of that was we standardized it. We were able to get all of the right competencies aligned. The schools have worked well with us to make sure that they have the right curriculum in place that meets up with the MacWick credentialing requirements that the employers have been asking for. But that still wasn't enough. Not enough technical school students are going into the trade, into the manufacturing world. So then we said, where else can we look? We know that students are exiting high school outside of the trade, vocational schools, outside of the trades, and they either go to college or they may go to the military, okay, those non-vocational students. Those going to college are looking at career pathways that perhaps may not directly align them with manufacturing, although accounting and sales and things like that certainly are potential manufacturing pathways. Those going to the military are focused on, of course, military career pathways and what have you, that ultimately someday may align with manufacturing, similar to the college bound, but they don't directly find their way into that manufacturing career pathway. So we looked around and we said there are still other high school students, another potential group of individuals that we may be able to steer into entry-level manufacturing positions and careers. And we refer to them as the traditional high schools. And many of those students do not go to college. They do not end up in the military. They do not end up with a marketable technical skill, but yet they still seek employment, and they may struggle in some cases to find their way into something meaningful. So we're going to engage with traditional high schools and try to find a way to connect them with those manufacturing career pathways. So there is a new program, and I think the best person that might be able to begin the conversation to our new initiative would be Karen Myhaver.
Thank you. I have a couple of things. I just wanted to go backwards just a little bit. I was just going to say that traditionally, the Mass MEP or any MEP has always gone to their client manufacturers to find out what their needs were. And all along, workforce has been finding solutions to the needs by developing new initiatives. I wanted to just mention that when we talked to these all the different manufacturers in the past, we were finding out about work shortages, shortages in the workforce because of the lack of people coming into manufacturing. And the two things that they mentioned were, of course, that we had a large number of people who were going to be, they were going to be leaving the workforce because of their age, and they had nobody coming in because there is a shortage in employable people, very low unemployment, plus the traditional pathways that students were coming in through the technical high school programs, the kids weren't coming anymore. They were going on to college. They were being encouraged to go to college. And a lot of those seats in the technical programs where the kids would be going through to go into machining or going into something that was traditionally a manufacturing pathway, a lot of academic students were taking those seats away from those students who normally would be there and going into manufacturing right out of school. So we're trying to find these kids who probably are in high school programs, traditional high school programs, rather than and find them there and offer them the opportunities that they may not be aware of.
Thank you, Karen, so much for sharing that with us. Ted, also, you talked to me a little bit the other day about these kids that are coming out of colleges or coming out of the military. I call them kids, but they're adults. And you talked about where they are headed after that. Can you share with us a little bit about that and the entry-level positions and the career pathway?
I'd be happy to. As we think through this new initiative and try to engage, and one of the main things that we're trying to do is really provide some guidance and some understanding of what is available in manufacturing. And what we see when we look at numbers is, let's say the college-bound student that left high school, went right to college, and say in 4 years, graduated with some type of a bachelor's degree. The interesting fact is that those students enter entry-level jobs in that path that they chose. Conversely to the military, somebody may spend 4 or 6 years in the military and they decide to exit the military track and they end up going into industry or into the public sector. They still end up finding their way into some entry-level job. And so to contrast that with this new initiative, we're looking for students who can be attracted to starting entry level and 4 years later being on par with either the military option or the college option and find themselves more advanced in rank, so to speak, more advanced in a position along a pathway. And the curious thing is they don't have any debt. They haven't paid for a lot of debt. But the other very important thing to recognize, especially for parents who still have that goal of wanting their children to find an education and some type of degree program, you're never precluded from going to college, even if you start off in that manufacturing pathway right out of high school. There are so many options. Again, I think Karen can explain this in more detail. So many options for somebody to start into that basic pathway and still end up earning degrees along their career path.
So Karen, can you share with us a little bit, and I might be putting you on the spot with this, I apologize, but let's talk about pay. What is an entry-level position pay for manufacturing? And in that 4 to 5 years of them starting, and the 4 to 5 years later, what might their pay be at?
Typically, entry-level is $15 to $18, depending on what it is that you're doing. And one of the things that I've been sharing with the groups, and I'll go back to that in a little while, but when I go out and talk to the students, that's what we're saying. We're not telling you don't go to college. We're not telling you don't go into the military. We're saying that there is a third option that people don't often think of because people are not aware of all that manufacturing offers. And I use an example. I say, so say you're a young person and you've just graduated from high school and you go in and you start working in a manufacturing company in their warehouse and you become familiar with the products and you start getting interested in what they do and learn more about the company. And then a little while later, something opens up and you're able to bid into a job in inspection. So you move up in your pay a little bit and you learn more and you get interested in how things are actually made. So maybe then you learn how to do some machining. And again, you're moving up and your pay is increasing. In the meantime, you say, okay, somebody's creating the programming for these machines. I want to take a class in programming. And you go out and you take a college course and you learn to do some design and programming, and that employer pays you for for your tuition, reimburses your tuition so you're not accruing debt. But in the meantime, like Ted says, you continue to move up and up. You're also experimenting, and all your curiosity about different jobs can be answered sort of in one place, because every manufacturing company is a business and it has all different facets, and you can get involved in marketing and advertising. You can get involved in purchasing or so many other things besides just the production end of things. So they're learning. You know, anywhere that you're learning is an education. You don't have to be in a formal surroundings to be educated. So that's why Ted said these kids end up in 4 years. They've got 4 years of growth within a company, 4 years of learning and finding out where they want to go within the company. And lots of times they're not accruing debt like the kids who've gone on to college might have. So
sounds like a no-brainer to me.
Yes, as I just was reminded that lots of times entry level $45,000 to $65,000 by the time they've gotten to 4 years, and in general, $75,000 to $85,000 after they've been in the, you know, that's an average for manufacturing.
Wow, that's so exciting. So how do we get involved? How does this work and how do we get involved?
Well, Ted and I and our team were talking about, you know, the best way to bridge the gap between the manufacturers and the school students is to help them reach out to each other. And this may sound simple. So many manufacturers are very busy with what they do. They want to reach out, but they really don't know how. And we've been successful with our other programs doing job fairs and doing a lot of different things. So we're going to be offering more of those type of things. But a first step, something that I don't like to say it's a no-brainer, but it sort of is, we're putting together a link, the Manufacturing Your Career link. And it's just going to be sort of a repository of all the different manufacturers, as many as we can get from the state of Massachusetts, and there are 7,000 of you, so I say call me. And we're just going to have something, a searchable database resource that we can provide to all the high schools and the high school teachers, resource, guidance counselors, parents, so that it will list and be searchable type of manufacturer, location, region, and then most importantly, what type of outreach is your company willing to offer to school students and their families, whatever? Will you allow them to come in and tour your facility? Will you be a mentor? Will you do co-op or internships? Do you have people who will go and make presentations at their schools? One resource that the schools will be able to use to find all this information so that they don't have to look all over the place. And I would like manufacturers from one part of the state to the other to be able to offer this to school students from one state part of the state to the other, because we do have an awful lot to offer in this state. So with that being said, we have started some great initiatives. I was lucky enough to be able to work with the South Shore Workforce Board and the Manufacturing Advisory Group, and they did a program recently where we did presentations at six local high schools in the South Shore area, actually in a couple of middle schools. And we did presentations to over 900 students, and it was great because Dean Rizzo, who is the director there at the South Shore Workforce Board, he would start out, make a presentation, talk about manufacturing in their vicinity. They have 400 manufacturers right there in their area. And then he would turn it over to me, and I would talk a little bit about what the Mass MEP does, and you know, statewide, and talk about particular skills that the manufacturing community is looking for, and encourage them about what we're talking about, that if you're not sure what you want to do, manufacturing is a great way to start a career and be able to experiment and find out about a lot of different things. The kids were very receptive. They asked a lot of good questions. And then after I would make my presentation, they'd have two or three people from manufacturing facilities, primarily younger people, to come in and give testimonials about how they entered manufacturing and how they were able to grow. So that was a really successful outreach. So let me just sort of summarize things a little bit, because we're talking about, it was named the Manufacturing Your Career Link. And as I tried to give you the hard sell a few minutes ago, I need all the manufacturers to give me their information because we want you to be involved. We need to educate students, their parents, their teachers, their guidance counselors about all the opportunities in manufacturing. And as I said, they very well can lead into college careers, and you can go anywhere. You know, the sky's the limit, but we need to have people get involved. And this is something that's going to help bridge the gap between the manufacturers and the kids and their parents so that people can start dialogues, start educating, being educated about the opportunities that are available to the kids. And that's what we need. We need the manufacturers to get involved.
Thank you so much, Karen. And it sounds like you guys have really thought this all the way through to connect what it was actually in your job title, Karen, right?
Yes.
The manufacturing companies, the high schools, the colleges, and the educators. Ted, is there anything you'd like to add?
Well, maybe I could add one little thing that we touched on earlier, but I think to employers is a big deal still. Cost is a big deal. And what we're trying to do also is impact the cost of hire. And I think many people are familiar with what that means. In manufacturing, the cost, typical cost of hire is about $6,400, okay, to go through the entire process of finding somebody and getting them into the business. Contrast that with healthcare, which is about $2,100. You know, so when you hire somebody into the healthcare business, it's $2,100. And what is the primary difference between the two? Healthcare is a field that a lot of people understand how you get to. It's credentialed. You know, young people understand what it is to become a nurse or a CNA and or people in the healthcare business, work in the healthcare business. Manufacturing is still somewhat nebulous, and that is the barrier we're trying to break through. That is the understanding we're trying to bring to the table to both people looking for employment, looking for career paths, and to those manufacturers who are looking to bring their costs down. Everybody can win, and really the ultimate goal here is to make sure that we keep this pipeline alive and active, because manufacturing cannot grow and will not grow without good employees.
Thank you. Oh, go ahead, Karen.
So there were two other things that came to mind while Ted was just talking. The word link in our name is what this is all about. And one of the other important elements of this link as we continue to grow is going to be that we're going to have the manufacturers be able to post entry-level jobs for the students as they graduate at the end of the year. That was something I wanted to make sure to mention, and I'm going to be updating that regularly as they have new postings to put in. The other thing I was going to say that I mentioned at many of the schools that I spoke at was the influence or the focus on STEM that is so prevalent right now, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. I challenged them that most careers in those different areas fall into manufacturing very well. So they have to think about that. Where is it that you become where is it that you work as an engineer? It's usually in manufacturing. So again, it's education. What kind of jobs? I'm going to college. I'm going to be an engineer. Well, where do you think you're going to be using that? It's probably going to be in manufacturing.
Thank you guys so much for sharing your new initiative, manufacturing your career. I know I've learned a ton today, and I'm sure our listeners have as well. Remember, for more information on MassMEP's workforce development, the Manufacturing Your Career link, contact Karen Myhaver. You can call her at 508-831-7020 or email her at karenm@massmep.org.
Thank you so much for listening to MassMEP's Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. To listen to more of MassMEP's podcasts or for more information on how MassMEP, your resource for manufacturing greatness, can help you, please visit massmep.org.